Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Amen. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord, that you are such a good God. And Father, Lord, we know that without you, Lord, our lives are empty. But with you, Father God, we have life and life to the full, Lord. So, Father, we just commit everything in your hands. Holy Spirit, you move amongst your children this morning, Lord. Give me the words to say. Don't let me speak of me, but let me speak from you. Lord, I just give you all the honor. I give you all the glory. And in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody says, amen. God bless you this morning as you sit down. Thank you, worship team. Amen. This morning, church, I believe that the Lord has given me a message to bring. I stand up here like Royal Mail, ready to deliver the package. But just like the Royal Mail, when they deliver the package, you have the choice to open the package. See, if you open the package, then that's where the prize is in the package. But if you don't open the package, you'll never know what's inside the package. Then that means you'll never ever receive your prize, what was inside the package in the first place. So I encourage us this morning, just those that have ears, let them hear this morning. I want to talk on a subject this morning. It's called, what you feed is what will grow. What you feed is what you will grow. I'll say that again. What you feed is what you grow. See, we need to keep on growing. We need to keep on advancing forward. How many know that we are a ministry that is advancing forward? We're not a ministry that settles for second best. We're not a ministry that settles for second place. We are a ministry that settles for God's best, for our lives and for our children's lives. Can somebody say amen this morning? See, yesterday's victory was yesterday. What about today? Yesterday's victory was yesterday, and that was good for yesterday. But the question is, have you got the victory this morning? Have you got the victory when you woke up this morning? Have you got the victory in church this morning? Have you got that overcoming spirit this morning that says, you know what? No matter what comes against me, I'm going to advance forward. No matter the lies, the tricks, the tactics that the enemy uses, I'm still going to advance forward for the honor and the glory of God this morning. See, we need to have the victory today. Last week, Pastor Paul was talking about the attitudes of the heart. And he talked about two attitudes of the heart. He talked about those that were half-hearted. But what I loved what he was talking about is those who are wholehearted. And I know one thing about Victory Outreach Manchester. We are a wholehearted church. Come on, somebody say who's wholehearted, get excited this morning. We are a wholehearted church. We don't give up halfway there. We don't give up when the tough gets going. We don't give up when the weather's pouring down outside. We don't give up when it's snowing. We don't give up when it's raining. We don't give up when there's hurricanes. We keep going and keep going and keep going. Why? Because we are a ministry that advances forward for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? See, Caleb last week that Pastor Paul was talking about was a man that never gave up. See, I love that Caleb spirit. Is there anybody got a Caleb spirit in here today that see that circumstances maybe have told you to give up? The doctor maybe have told you to give up. Your family members maybe have told you to give up. But the God that I serve says never give up, because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come in this church. See, the reason why you are here today is because you never gave up yesterday. As simple as that. The reason why you are here today is because you made a decision yesterday that you're going to get the victory yesterday. And because you got the victory yesterday, that positions you today to walk victorious today. Can somebody get excited this morning? See, what I want to look at this morning is what you feed is what you grow. It says in Philippians 1 verse 9, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, that you will keep on growing in the knowledge and the understanding. See, what you feed will grow, good or bad, become stronger with the more attention you give it. See, the more attention you give something, the stronger that thing will become. Can any married couple say amen? The more time you spend with it, intimacy with your wife, the more quality time you spend with your partner, the stronger your relationship comes. The more time you invest in your children, is the stronger the relationship will come. The more time you spend on your own spiritual growth, the stronger you will become, and you will become that man and woman that God has called you to be. Just because something is good doesn't mean that something is God. There is many good things out there that are not God. There is many good things that the world will try and show you that is not God, but is good. See, in the spacious place, there is more room for growth. We're in the place where we've entered into the spacious place. That means there's more room for growth. That means there is more opportunity. And what got you here is not going to keep you here. What got you to where you are right now is not going to keep you where you are right now. There needs to be a continuation. There needs to be that hunger. There needs to be that thirst for the things of God. There needs to be that determination. There needs to be that persevering spirit that says, you know what? I ain't going to quit. I ain't going to throw in the towel. I ain't going to turn away and walk away. I'm going to go forward for God. As for me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Can somebody say amen? See, it's a new season. It's your time to blossom. How many know it's your time to blossom? It's your time to shine. You've been called for such a time like this. We have had some victories. Strongholds have come down. How many people, some strongholds have came down in the last couple of weeks? Some strongholds of depression have come down. Some strongholds of low self-esteem has come down. Some strongholds of fear has come down in our lives. Strongholds have been disabled. We had Pastor Paul talk about disabling those strongholds in our lives. How many know that we serve a good God? See, our faith has grown, our passion has grown, and our trust has grown. But what now? What now? Do you stop there? Do you settle there? Do you camp there? What have you been feeding on this week? For example, if you were to be squeezed right now, what would come out? If you were to be squeezed right now, what would come out of you? See, you need to ask your question sometimes. What comes out of you when that person cuts you off in the road? What comes out of you when that bus goes away just as you're about to step on it? What comes out of you when that person steals your place in Tesco shopping line? What comes out of you? Because people all around, people are watching. People are watching, and God is hands upon our lives. But we need to be more focused. We need to go deeper. We need to put the graft in. Because of one of the enemy's tactics is that he wants us to settle there. He doesn't want you to advance. He doesn't want you to progress. He doesn't want you to get to the next place. He wants you to settle for where you're at. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is there is more. There is more victories. There is more battles. There is more testimonies. There's more victories within the church. Last week, Pastor Paul says it's like you've been called to go to London, but you settle in Birmingham. You settle halfway in the journey. It's like God has called you for so much, but so many Christians settle in that one place. Right, I've got the victory now. My family's doing good right now. I've got that job right now. I've got a bit of money right now. I'm going to settle here because it's good here. But let me tell you, God has got something better for you. God has got something more for you. God has got so much that he can do just as long as you get positioned. There is so much in the spacious place. And if you're feeding your faith, you will become a faith giant. If you're feeding your prayer, you'll become a prayer giant. If you're feeding your word life, the word life, you will grow in the knowledge of God's word. But let me tell you, if you eat a lot of junk and don't exercise, you'll just get fat. If all you do is feed yourself on Facebook, you're just nosy. Is there any nosy people in the house this morning? I see all your likes. And so does God. Amen. But let me ask you this. But what happens when you start feeding that doubt again? Or you start feeding that apathy again? Or you start feeding that grumbling and complaining again. I learned a lesson in marriage about grumbling and complaining. Let me tell you, I'll share the lesson that I learned in marriage about grumbling and complaining. My wife's an amazing cook. I love my wife's cooking. She cooks amazing food for me and the family. And I remember I sat down one day and I was in the flesh. That's right, we get in the flesh sometimes. So do you. And she put the meal down and I started complaining about it. And the kids jumped on it and they started complaining about it. Wrong move. Believe me, wrong move. My wife stood up and said, "You have nothing but ungrateful." She goes, "Tomorrow, you're getting beans and toast." I was like, "Aye, right you are. I'm the man of the house, amen. I'm the king of this house, amen." Guess what was for dinner the next day? Beans on toast, amen. And how many know that no matter what she puts in front of me, that is amazing, darling. That is beautiful, darling. That's in my top 10 of food, darling. That is the best food I've ever. Isn't it, kids? Tell mom, please. See, we cannot be a people that grumble and complain. What have we got to grumble and complain about? We are free this morning in the house of the Lord. We have a right mind this morning in the house of the Lord. We're not shackles. We're not bound. We're not prisoners. We are free this morning in the house of the Lord. So what have we got to grumble and complain about? Yeah, you can look at it two ways. I was thinking about this morning. You can look at it two ways in the spacious place. You can look at it as more work or more victories. Or you can look at it as more opposition or more opportunities. See, it's a mindset of how you see the spacious place. See, God has already brought us to the spacious place. We're here. We're here. We're not coming to it. We're in it. We're in the spacious place. But how do you conceive it? How do you see it? Do you see it as, you know what? There's going to be more victories. There's going to be more opportunities for us. There's going to be more opportunities. So this morning, I want us to look at a couple of things about putting in the right ingredients. About the three, I believe there's loads of things, but I've highlighted three things that we need to keep growing. That we cannot take our foot off these things. We cannot take our eyes off these things. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 reads, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by the means of his marvelous and glory excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience, endurance, brotherly affection, and with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ." See, one thing we've got to understand about growing, to grow, you have to respond. You're not going to grow unless you respond to something. Respond to certain changes in your life. Respond to certain things. You're not going to grow unless you respond to certain things. See, God's always challenging us. And I love in this portion of Scripture when it says, make every effort to respond to God's promises. See, God's promises are there for us in a spacious place. He's the same as yesterday, today, and forevermore. God does not change. So the same promises that were back there are the same promises that are still here. But we need to make every effort to enter into them. We can never, ever take our foot off the pedal. See, the Lord will provide everything you need in the spacious place. God has brought us here because he wants to do something in our lives personally, and he wants to do something in our life corporately. That's why God has us here. But the problem is sometimes we need to grow up from the way we grew up. We need to grow up for the way we grew up. We need to see things different. We need to look at things through the spiritual eyes. Because the minute you start looking through the natural eyes is the minute you start throwing in the towel. The minute you start looking through the natural eyes, you'll stop growing in certain areas. But when you look through the spiritual eyes, when God challenges you, when you respond to the certain things that you have to change, because we've all got things that we want to change in our life. We've all got little areas that need to be changed, little habits and little routines and little things that we've all got certain things that we need to change, but we need to make the effort to change. In the spacious place, we need to take the limits off because we serve a limitless God. The only limitations in the spacious place is the ones that we place on ourselves. That's the only limitations, the ones that we put on ourselves, the ones that we carry around, that I can't make it, I can't complete it, I can't finish it, I can't become everything that God has called me. Limitations that we put on ourselves sometimes. But let me tell you, in the spacious place, there is no limits. See, God is a big God, and he says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is with work in us. See, we have the power in us. See, the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave, it dwells within us. We have the power to become everything that God has called us to be. We have the power to become the giants of faith that God has called us to be. We have the power within us that no matter what we face, that we can overcome it this morning. Can somebody say amen? See, I believe that there's three areas this morning that the Lord wants us to continue to grow strong. And the first one this morning is your devotion life. Let me ask you a question. How do you start your day? How do you start your day? Do you give your time to God first thing in the morning? Or you might more night shift or whatever, or you do your devotion in the evening, depending on your schedule. But regardless of whatever time your schedule is, how much time do you devote to God? How much time do you spend quality time with God? How much time do you sit at the feet of Jesus? How many times do you just open your word and just get lost in the scriptures? Allow God to encourage you. Allow God to rebuke you. Allow God to correct you. Allow God to point you in the right direction. Because that's what God does. In that place of the devotion, it's a place where we get the instructions. It's a place where God gives us the building bricks to build our future. A place where we get growth comes from that devotion place, where God highlights and God points out and God shows and God reveals stuff to us that he wants us to do and the paths that he's leading on, because he wants us to grow up in the right way. He doesn't want us to be distracted. He doesn't want us to be on the wrong path. He wants us to be on the right path. And in that place of devotion, setting time apart for God, that's where he can speak to his children. That's where he can speak to his children. Sometimes we can get too busy for God. Sometimes we can get too busy for God. I'm in a rush. I'll pray tomorrow. Or if you've ever fell into the trap that I fell into a few times, I'll pray on the bus. You never pray on the bus when you go on it. Or I'll read my word on the bus. I'm running late this morning. I've not got enough time. I'll read my word on the bus. Or I'll pray later on this afternoon. See, sometimes the enemy comes with their traps that he wants us to not spend that quality time with him. Because it's only in that place of the intimacy, it's only in that place of the quality time, then we can get his heart. And when we get his heart, then he leads us to those places. And even though we go through the valley of the shadow there, he is with us. He is with us in those places. And I want to encourage us this morning, we need to continue to grow in our devotion life. You know, one of the enemy's tactics is to cut your communication. He wants to cut your communication, because if you've got no communication, you ain't got no direction. No communication means no direction. How can God lead you if you're not spending time with him? How can God show you the areas that need to grow in your life if you're not spending quality time with him? How can God highlight their things if you're not spending quality time? We are in a spacious place, and we need to know that it's God that brought us here. And if God brought us here, then God will keep us here. But we need to be continue hearing from him. We need to be sitting at the feet of Jesus daily. It's going to be busy in this spacious place. There's going to be more opportunities in this spacious place. There's going to be more events in this spacious place. There's going to be more stuff in this spacious place. But we can only do those stuff if we spend that time with God. When we separate that time apart for God, that's one of the things I loved about being in the home, the quality time you had with God in the morning. Because sometimes when you get married and you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 kids, the quality time doesn't seem to be as much sometimes. You have to grasp every bit you can get. And I want to encourage us this morning, don't lose that quality time with God. Nothing's more important than quality time with God. You cannot do nothing unless you have that quality time with God, because then you're doing it on your own strength. But if you spend that quality time, then you're doing it on God's strength. And I believe that we need to continue to grow in that. We need to be deeper in our devotional time. John 10 verse 10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. How many times lately have you sat down to pray and something distracts you? How many times have you sat down and you all of a sudden you've lost focus? Or let me even tell you this one, you've maybe fell asleep. How many times have you been on your knees and all of a sudden you wake up? My wife calls that a holy pause. And the reason why she calls it a holy pause is because before we go to our bed at night, we pray for each other. And she'll say for me, Kevin, can you pray for me? I'm like, certainly. And I'm lying on my pillow, all of a sudden in an image. And she wakes me up. She goes, you were sleeping there. I said, I wasn't sleeping. It was a holy pause. How many times have you been like that in your devotion life in the morning? You've been on your knees with all great intentions. You're going to pull down everything. You're going to battle. And all of a sudden you wake up and it's time to go. Because the enemy's plan and his tactics is that he wants to divert us from what God wants to speak to us. The great revival amongst British college students in the late 19th century began with these historic words. Remember the morning watch. Think of your morning meeting with God as your morning watch. Doctors tell us breakfast is the most important meal. It gives you energy, alertness, and even establish your moods for the day. Likewise, we need a spiritual breakfast to start our day off right and to make sure we are giving Jesus first place. We are to seek first his kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. In the season that we're in, we need to go deeper in our devotion life. We need to go deeper. And the next one that I want to look at is our faith. Somebody say faith. See, in the new place, we're going to need to grow in our faith. Because in the spacious place, there is battles to be won. But we need to remember that God is with us. And he is the same as yesterday, today, and forever. And if God done it before, then he can do it again. I love it when Joshua and Caleb came with that report and said, you know what, we can do it. But there was other ones that said that we cannot do it. But Joshua and Caleb, I love it when they stand and say, no, we can do it. The giant, that's our breakfast. We can do it. We can make this. And I want to let you know this morning, church, that we can make this. That we can see revival in this city. We can see this church overflow. We can see seats filled. People in the car park in tents because we've no enough space. People getting healed. People getting delivered. People getting set free. Families getting restored. This city, taking our city for Jesus. Can somebody say amen? See, but what report are you going to have? Are you going to have the fear report? Or are you going to have the faith report? See, you might be facing something right now. You might be in the middle of something right now. But what's your report going to be? Is it going to be a fear report? Excuse me. Or is it going to be a faith report? For your faith to grow, you're going to need to step up and let God step in. I love the story of David and Goliath. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. That David's faith grew as he had victory over the lion and the bear. He was ready for Goliath that was coming because he knew God did it before and that God would do it again. And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 32, it says, don't worry about the Philistines, David told Saul. I'll go and fight them. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, he said. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I love that, club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this to the pagan Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from the Philistine. Saul finally consented. All right, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. See, one thing we need to understand, that when the enemy comes breathing down our neck in the new season, we're going to need to turn around, declare the word of God over it. We're going to need to turn around, declare that greater is he that is in me. We're going to need to turn around and declare, you know what? I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We're going to need to turn around and declare that, you know what? That no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God has brought me into this place. God will provide for me in this place. God will strengthen me in this place. God will keep me in this place, and God will show me in this place what God has for me in this place. And as we come into the season of no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him, see, our faith muscles need to be popping. Our faith muscles need to be popping. They need to be growing. We need to be walking in the victory that we have. We cannot be intimidated. We cannot turn back. We need to go forward for the honor and the glory of God. See, David knew when Goliath was there, he wasn't interested in the size of Goliath. Why? Because he knew the size of his God. See, when things come against you, don't look at the size of the problem. Don't look how big it is. Don't look how bad it is. Don't look how difficult it is. Look to God. He's the one that will give you the strength to fight through. He will give you that overcoming spirit that says, no matter what, get out the road. I'm coming through. This is my place. This is my victory. This is my time. This is my calling. You have called me. You have chosen me. You have a plan for me. You picked me up. You turned me around and you placed my feet on the solid ground. I ain't going to listen to the lies no more. I am victorious in the name of Jesus. See, our faith needs to grow and grow and grow. For what comes against you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how big it is. God is bigger. God is greater. God is more awesome. And he looks at it and says, go on, child. Just use my name. Just tell them I'm here for my daddy. It's like at school, isn't it? You touch me, I'm going to get my dad. Problem, you come against me, I'm going straight to the prayer room. You come against me with that, I'm going straight to my knees. You come against me with that accusation and those lies, I'm going straight to my knees. You come again saying, I can't get that promotion. Who do you think you're talking to? I'm getting on my knees. Because if God says it's for me, then who can be against me? See, we need to stir up our faith all the time. You need to be faith stirrers. We need to get a hold of the victories. Remember the victories that God has done. How do we increase our faith? We read the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. How else? You heed the word. It says in James 1, 22 to 24, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. God doesn't make it complicated for us. He doesn't make it hard for us to grow. He doesn't make it difficult for us to become everything that he has called us to be. He says it's simple. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away and forget what you look like. We can never ever forget what God's done in our lives. So it doesn't matter what comes against us. Always go back, remember what God has done. The greatest miracle is just, tell the person next to you, you are a miracle. Tell the person on the other side, so are you. Because we are miracles and we can never ever forget what God has done in our lives. And another way for your faith to grow is test them. test the word. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. Test me in this, says the Lord. We're going to need to continue to grow in our faith, because for what's going to explode, and for when the wave comes, when revival comes, we're going to need to be men and women of faith. Men and women that are going to stand no matter what. Men and women that ain't going to quit. Men and women that ain't going to walk away. But men and women that are going to go forward, who are going to continue to grow. Like I said, we need to make every effort to grow. It's not just going to come. You're going to need to step out and trust God in certain situations. You're going to need to step out the boat sometimes. God's going to challenge you to do stuff too. New ministries are going to be birthed. New opportunities are going to be birthed. There is many people in here that you've got so much gifts inside you that you're ready to explode. God's just going to highlight you. God's just going to point you out. God's just going to, all of a sudden, it's like open your eyes. And you're going to see, wow, this is where I've meant to be. This is where God wants to position me in the spacious place. This is where God wants me in the spacious place. Right, God, this is the gifts you've given me now. See, we need to find those gifts. We need to look and ask and pray and find and step out what God has called us to be. We need to be encouraged this morning. And the last one that I want to believe is love for souls. Love for souls. Take your city next week as a love for souls. Come on, somebody get excited this morning. Take your city next week as a love for souls. Because we love souls. We can never ever stop growing in the love that we have for the treasures out of darkness. We can never ever stop loving. We can never ever stop loving the people that God brings us. See, in the new season, God is going to bring a lot of lost and broken people to the church. God is going to bring a lot of people with attitude. Just like you and me had when we first came. Oh, don't look all so holy. God's going to bring those people that have much baggage. And God's going to use you to help them in with that baggage. God's going to use you to carry their baggage in with them. To carry their pride in and their racism in and their bigotry in and their, all that stuff and the anger. And God's going to use people like you and people like me to show his love through us. We need to be ready this morning. We need to continue to grow for our love, and not just for the same culture, but for everybody. It doesn't matter. God doesn't look at color or where you're from. God looks at the heart. God's interested in the heart. And he's interested in the heart of the broken parent or the broken child or the broken homeless person on the street. He's interested in the heart. He wants our heart to them. He wants us to show his love through us. Just like he did for us. That when we were messed up, he stretched his hand out and he picked us up out of our place. My old home director used to say to us in the home, "You all come from skips. Some of you had double glazing in your skips. Some of you had curtains in your skips. Some of you had no windows in your skips. But you all came for a heap of rubbish, and God stretched his hand out and he pulled you out of that place and he showed you his love." See, there's going to be all sorts of people that are going to come. But thank God for the people that went for the extra mile in our lives. Thank God for the people that never gave up in us. Thank God for the people that would phone us 24 hours a day if we needed them. Thank God for those people that would take us for coffee or the phone calls or those people that would embrace us when we're having a hard time. See, we've been shown that. Now it's our turn to show it back. There's going to be all sorts of things coming in, all sorts of people coming in. I read this quote the other day there. It says, "Love is donating a chunk of your life to patch up holes in the life of another." Love is donating a chunk of your life to patch up holes in the life of another. Sometimes people just want to be loved. But the problem is, if we don't show them that, they'll find love somewhere else. And it's artificial. It's a false love. Because people are searching. There's souls out there searching. There's souls out there desperate. There's people out there dying. We're going to see people coming in. We're going to see people coming in that are messed up. broken, hurt, angry. I want to blame God. I want to blame you. It's your fault, they'll probably say. But we've got to embrace them. We've got to embrace them. I love what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-5. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. Archie, can you come up, please, mate? Cheers. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Why is loving others so difficult? Loving others can be extremely difficult at times. Challenged. The extra grace people. How many know there's loads of extra grace people? You need to show them that extra bit grace. That extra bit grace, the same little extra bit grace we got. People will be rude. People will suck the life out of you. People will call you at inconvenient times. But let me tell you, in the divine appointments, there's never an inconvenient time. When it's a divine appointment, there's never an inconvenient time. But sometimes we can become selfish. Sometimes we can become hard ourselves. That we sometimes maybe even find it hard to receive love. And we find it even harder to give the love sometimes. But that's areas that we can grow in. That's areas that we can become everything that God has called us to be. Philippians 2 verse 3-5 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. You must have the same attitude that Christ had. It's the attitude that he loved the unlovable. He wasn't interested in where they came from. He was interested in where they were going. And we have a great opportunity, church. We're on the tip of the explosion. The wave's ready to come. The place is ready to be filled. We're going to soon have to get a bigger building because there's going to be that many people. There's going to be loads of souls. But let me tell you one thing. Love will keep them. Love will keep them. Love will keep a person. When you show someone that love. I remember when I went in the home. I went in on the Saturday night. And I woke up on the Sunday morning and they said, you know what? It's time for church. And I was sort of still a bit mangled. I said, church? I said, all right then. And I came with the old card straight away, but I've not got a suit. I've not got nothing to wear. And I remember that there was an American guy called Kyle. And he came into my room and he handed me this suit. And it was about 5 times too big. And he says, I'll bless you. I want to bless you, brother, because I love you. I was like, wow. I went, all right then. I said, but I'll never ever. I said, how am I meant to fit into that? And he says, don't worry. He says, you will fit into that. And he was right, I did fit into it. But what he showed me was love. Straight away, I was like, wow. I said, these people really care. And it's one of the things that really kept me at the beginning. When we had our directors, he's no longer there, Paul Pond, he went to be with the Lord. The love that he showed, it was like a tough love, but it was God's tough love in my life. And I was like, wow, man. I said, these people are so hard, but they've got so much love. And I'm like, wow. I said, I want to stay here. I want to be part of this because the love is so real. It's not a false love or a kid only. It's a pure love. A love that says, you know, no matter what, we're in this together. And we need to grow in that. As we stand to our feet this morning, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, and as the worship team make their way up this morning, where are you at this morning, church? Where are you really, really at this morning? How's your devotion life? How's your quality time with the Lord? How's your quality time with the Lord? How much time you're spending? It's the quality time. God's not under the quantity. He's looking for the quality. He's looking for the quality time. And I want to really encourage us this morning. especially in our devotion life, especially if we're going to grow in this area. We cannot be like Martha and be distracted. Distracted because there's so much other stuff to do. We need to be like the Mary that says, you know what? I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet because that's all I need. And church, you know what? That is all that we need. Because everything that we can become and everything that we can do and everything that we can become and do for God is going to come out of a relationship with Christ. We will grow in love. We will grow in our devotion life. We will grow in faith. But really, I believe and I feel that sometimes we just need to come and sit at the feet of Jesus. So you know what? I just want to invite everybody just to come to the altar and just spend some quality time with the Lord. Really, really just spend some quality time with the Lord. Because sometimes we can even get too distracted in church. We can get too diverted sometimes. We can get too busy sometimes. We can get too caught up in stuff sometimes. We can do the Martha, running about here, running about there, running about there, running about there. But God is looking for a Mary that says, you know what? I'm just going to sit at your feet, Lord. I'm just going to sit at your feet because everything that I can desire comes from you. Everything that I want from life can only come from you. You're going to give me the strength in the spacious place. You're going to give me the boldness in the spacious place. You're going to give me that fire burning up inside me in the spacious place. So as we sing a worship song, just connect. Just connect.
And find me here. And drench my
soul. We need to get desperate again. We need to be desperate again.
With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me. I surrender. Here I am, down on my knees again. Surrendering all.
Speak to the Father. Speak to Jesus. Speak to Jesus.
Find me here. Find me here. Lord, as you draw me near, speak before you. I'm desperate. Entrench my soul, trench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. stronger and firm. With arms stretched wide, with arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now.
Hallelujah, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we just speak over every man and every woman and every child in this place right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord, we just pray, Father God, for the intimacy with you, Father God. Lord, we pray for a deeper devotional time, Father God, that they will grow in the faith, Lord, that they will grow in the love for others, Father God. But most of all, Lord, they will grow in the love that they have for you. Lord, I just pray that every person that has been disconnected, Father God, Lord, I pray that you reconnect, Father God. That you reconnect with them, Father. That you reconnect with them, Father. And in the mighty name of Jesus, the altars are going to remain open for a couple of minutes, but if you need to go and pick up your children, the service is now finished in the name of Jesus. But if you need to go and pick up your children then to release the teachers, then on you go. But you know what? If you just want to spend 5 minutes just at the feet of Jesus, know what I mean? Then that's so. Father, we just ask you just to bless every man and every woman, Father God. In the
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.